The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Good to be with you as we march through the afternoon. I remind you, in about an hour, Rich in Morro Bay is going to join us. Let's talk about what happened last week in Congress with Speaker Mike Johnson and the big vote on funding Ukraine and Israel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Bill Ostrander at 6:05. We'll talk about the dangers of processed food. Tomorrow, actor Bo Bridges, among other guests. It is a Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. This hour, we put the spotlight. It is time for the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. This year is especially special, if there's such a thing. It's their 30th anniversary. Everything kicks off on Thursday, April 25th, runs through the 30th, and then there's an encore, which we'll find out about during the first week of May. Skye McClellan has been very busy putting all this together, but she's got time to join us now to talk about it. Skye, good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
Nice to see you. How are you feeling? You ready?
I'm ready to rock and roll. Bring it on.
5 years in the chair for you now?
Yes, yeah.
How do you feel? You feel like you've got a grip on this event? You feel comfortable now with it?
No, there's every day is an adventure, and we've rode many different waves. And so, yeah, as soon as I feel like I might know it, it changes on me. So I roll with the punches, and yeah, we make it happen.
How is the new date working out for you? It seems to be giving you a shot in the arm, moving from early March to late April.
Yeah, it's been great to have a little bit of time away also from the major film festivals. We've been able to get some really big films at the festival this time of year. It's also usually, it's a more sunnier time. This last March, I was like, oh man, I'm glad we don't have the festival now. Because yeah, it just was raining all of March. So yeah, that's also a positive. It's just like a nice kind of time of year to be in SLO and downtown. So, yeah.
Let's start with the basics. The website for the film festival is?
SLOfilmfest.org.
People can buy passes?
They can buy passes. You can buy individual tickets. You can buy ticket packages. We've really made the experience kind of, if you want to see a few films, you can. Or if you want the full, all access, you know, get into every special event, we have that as well. So you can a la carte it, or you can go for the whole thing.
But a lot of these events sell out, so I wouldn't, I know it's a last minute town,
yeah.
But I wouldn't wait till the last minute.
I really wouldn't, no.
All right. So King Vidor is always the big award. This year you have?
Heather Graham.
Yay.
We're so excited about it. I actually am a huge fan of hers
as
well.
As am I, yeah.
And she's just an incredible, lovely, kind, and very talented woman. And we have her film that she just directed called Chosen Family.
So let's talk about her. This is on Saturday.
Yes. So we're doing conversation with her at Hotel Slo earlier in the day at 12 p.m. That's definitely going to sell out. Very limited tickets there. But we're at 5 p.m. we're going to be showcasing her film Chosen Family, which she also stars in, and she'll be there as well.
Isn't she directing that too?
Yeah, she directs and stars in it.
Well, can you tell us about the movie? Have you seen it?
Yes, I have. It's just it's a funny kind of drama. It also has Julia Stiles in it. It's kind of, you know, she's navigating the world of dating after being like divorced, and she's dating a guy who has a kid, and the kid doesn't like her, and it's like all these kind of family dynamics, and she has a sister who just like keeps just getting things wrong, and then she has this amazing group of friends that are like her chosen family who support her and all these decisions and how she navigates life.
Heather Graham, what would we say? Lost in Space. The Hangover,
Boogie Nights.
Personally,
yeah, I Drugstore Cowboy was one of her first films. Yeah, I've been going actually through her whole career.
It's pretty impressive. Yeah.
She's constantly working.
How'd you get her?
Well, we just actually approached her mainly because of this film. So that's been something that we really wanted to highlight, people that currently have work out there right now. And she's really excited about this film. This is her second film as a director, and she wants to continue to produce and make films. So that was really something we were looking for.
So you're helping her and she's helping you.
Yes.
She brings she helps bring star power.
Yeah.
And you give her a venue for her film.
Mm-hmm.
That works out.
Yeah.
Now we're interviewing Beau Bridges tomorrow. Why is he coming to the film festival?
Beau is also starring in a film called Camera, which was actually shot mostly in Morro Bay. And the film will be playing Monday of our Central Coast filmmaker kind of day, where we're celebrating the Central Coast on Monday, April 29th. And that film is at 3:30 at the Fremont Theater. And Beau will be there, as well as the rest of the cast and director.
I believe Jay Silverman, the director-producer, is also going to be joining us tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do you have any theory as to why more films aren't made on the Central Coast, given our proximity to Hollywood?
I do have a theory. A lot of it to do is with crew and equipment.
Explain.
And so one big thing is, when you're in a big film town like LA or some of these other towns, it's just easy to go to a prop house or to get all your lighting, all of your grip equipment, to hire union workers. You know, these are huge productions. To have bring that whole crew out of the area, like to the Central Coast, would be super expensive. Then you've got to put them up in Airbnbs and hotels. Yeah. And then you've got to get the grip trucks down here. So that's been a big problem. And it's actually slowly, the last few years, there are people that are actually renting out equipment now and trying to have more infrastructure, because that's just kind of where we've been lacking, is not have the infrastructure for these, for a crew to just basically show up and everything's here that they need.
Well, and I know Camera already had a screening at the Morro Bay Theater. I heard great things about it. It's getting a good little buzz.
Yeah, it's a great film. Definitely also family friendly. So bring the whole family out to see this one.
So remind us, can people see Beau Bridges? Isn't he doing a red carpet walk?
He's going to be there for the Q&A. Okay. And yeah, you will see him there. And maybe you'll be able to ask your own personal questions.
Well, you had Jeff Bridges about 10 years ago. Now, are there any other Bridges?
I think it's just the two brothers.
Just the two brothers.
Yeah, but I could be wrong.
So you've had them both. Yeah. Everything you need to know is on the website, which is?
Slowfilmfest.org.
All right. Sky's with us talking about the big film festival. We'll come back and keep the conversation going. We're live. We're local. You're listening to The Dave Congleton Show. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. We are in conversation with Sky McLennan. She is the, what do we give you as a title? Are you the director? Everybody's got a different title. Artistic director?
I'm the executive director.
Executive director.
Yeah.
30th anniversary. That's got to be quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, we're really, it's been interesting for me. I've been here for 5 years. Before that was Wendy Edson for 17, and then the founder, Mary Harris, for 10.
Yeah.
Three generations of women, which is really cool. But it's been fun because I've been looking back at the history the last 30 years and updating our website. And we've really accomplished so much and been in this community for a long time, and I think really provided a really amazing event. So
it is quite impressive to see how the festival has evolved, because I remember those beginning years with Mary, mm-hmm. when it was basically just retrospective showing classic films.
Yeah.
And you go to the Palm and you'd see North by Northwest, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
It's great. But then I think Wendy took it up a couple notches, and then you're clearly taking it up even more.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, we're just continuing to roll with the times and what people want as well. So
what do you think of people want in a film festival these days, Sky?
I think really, you know, we're struggling in the movie theater industry, and so kind of eventicizing things. A lot of our films this year, we have special guests or we have live music, you know, really selling the fact that it's just more than just seeing a movie. I also think in a community like SLO, there's just so many stories that we just miss out on and don't get to hear. And so that is goes into a lot of the programming, is really exposing people to storytelling and perspectives and ideas that you might not see here in San Luis Obispo.
So what are the numbers? How many people submitted films to you this year?
A little over 1,000.
And how many did you accept?
Around 150.
Explain the process.
So it starts in July. We get the submissions. We have a group of screeners, which are a little over 70 screeners who volunteer their time and they watch the films. Each film gets watched at least 4 to 5 times. And then we look at all those ratings, and we take on that feedback. And then we watch those, kind of the top from that. And then we, from there, go even further, and we basically go out and seek additional films that we feel will, you know, meet the needs of the festival or the audience.
So in this case, you've got a lot of short films. So how does someone possibly decide how to engage a film festival? Because they don't know these films. They don't know these directors. Mm-hmm. What guidance do you offer?
I really see us as curators, so you're guaranteed when you come to anything at the festival, there's been multiple people that have watched these films and given them their stamp of approval. When it comes to shorts, particularly, we actually play these all now in shorts packages, and we've very artfully curated these shorts to fit like a theme or a tone, even like down to just deciding which one plays, you know, after one another. That's all a part of like a shorts experience. And so that's something unique that a film festival can offer.
Because where else can you see the shorts on a big screen?
Very rarely anywhere. Yeah. Yeah. I was just telling someone today, I said, if you've never been to a film festival before, come see some shorts.
And these are coming from all over the world.
They are. Yeah.
So when you say it's an international film festival, it truly is international.
Truly is international, all, from all around the world. And some of those filmmakers will also be here in San Luis Obispo. We have someone coming from the UAE, the director of Mountain Boy, which is really exciting and very far away. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Hmm. Now, but one tradition you're keeping, you still have Surf Night. Surf Night's coming up on Friday.
It is, yeah. It's just always such a great, fun event, and people have come to love it. And this year's film is about these three guys who are at the top of the surfing game right now. But they're just, it's kind of reminds me of Endless Summer. Like, they just like going around trying to catch the best waves, and while you're on that journey, you're learning a lot about their friendship and who they are as people. And seeing surf movies at the Fremont is just something very special.
They've always been very popular. Surf Night,
yeah.
You always sell out. You always get a great response. Mm-hmm. People love coming to see the surf movies.
Yeah. I mean, it's not normally like something I personally even enjoy, but there's something about it on the big screen. We now would do the surf rock band before, like, so it's just a really fun night.
You can become a convert. You don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Open your mind.
So then as the executive director, what are you looking for in terms of movies to present? Because you said you're not necessarily a big fan of Surf Night. What do you look for?
I look, especially now, I look for things that I feel will move people, will make them feel something special. Like, it's kind of this, it's like this feeling I can't quite articulate, but it's just when you see something and you're like, oh my gosh, wow, like that's what I look for in a movie. And that I feel very much on our opening night film, Ghostlight, actually. This film is a little bit sadder, and so I was like, should I be opening night, should it not? And ultimately, we decided yes, because it was, it just makes you feel that way. Like,
well, let's talk about that. First, how did the movie come to your attention?
I saw this movie at Sundance, and it felt very special in that it follows this guy who's basically kind of grieving, and he gets involved in a community play of Romeo and Juliet. And it's this whole idea of community and the power of connection within community and how healing that can be. And that, to me, was something that also is very representative of Slow, specifically. And so, yeah, it just kind of all made sense. So I'm excited to see what people think on Thursday.
Well, I would think they, I mean, it was, the movie was at Sundance. That says something in and of itself.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Right. So I would think people would respond to it.
Yes, yeah.
All right. So let's remind folks when the movie is playing and how people get tickets for it.
That will be opening night, April 25th, and you can get those tickets at slowfilmfest.org, and that's Ghostlight is the name of the film.
So is there a particular film that you're excited to present?
Oh, gosh. I personally love them all. I really...
Yeah, but there's got to be one that you're like, I can't wait to present this movie.
I do really love Thelma, our closing night film.
Which we're sponsoring.
Yes, you are sponsoring. It's so funny and sweet. It follows June Squibb. She's 94 years old, still acting, still at the top of her game. And it's just one of those movies that, you know, age is just a number. Like, the adventure, like, never stops. And again, it kind of similar to what I was just describing earlier. Just a movie that makes you feel good and makes you feel something. Laugh, cry, all of the, ticks all the boxes.
She was in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And she was also in, she was Jack Nicholson's wife in About Schmidt.
I believe so. I mean, like, you look at her IMDb, she's been acting since she's, like, was a teenager.
Those are the two movies I know her from.
Yeah.
So she's been around.
Yes.
And it's called Thelma.
Yes.
Also, talk a little bit about the... just the impact of seeing a movie on a large screen as opposed to sitting at home watching on Amazon Prime.
Well, there's a lot that goes into it, especially the cinematography that I think you get missed on unless you have like the state of the art, you know, TV and all that, which maybe you do, but most of us don't.
I don't know.
And it also is, I don't. Personally, like, when I watch movies at home now, I'm also texting, like, I'm doing other things.
Yeah.
That, making that conscious decision, hey, for 2 hours I'm going to be here in the dark and watch this movie, and you give your attention to that full immersive experience, is really what ideally the filmmaker is looking for and the best way to experience the film.
And you're watching with other people, so if they're laughing, you're inclined to laugh.
Yes.
If you hear somebody sobbing, you might be inclined to well up a little bit.
Exactly.
I think there's something special about seeing a movie with a large audience.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right, the website for everything we're talking about here, Sky, remains?
Slowfilmfest.org.
For the next, to the 31st anniversary, are you going to need volunteers for screeners?
We're always looking for volunteers, always looking for screeners, so reach out to volunteer at slowfilmfest.org.
The best way is to come to this festival and get involved that way.
Exactly.
All right, let us go to California Headline News and ABC Radio News, find out what's happening in the world. Craig will update us with Time Saver Traffic and Weather together, and Sky and I will keep the conversation going. It's the 30th anniversary. San Luis Obispo International Film Festival kicks off this Thursday. Check out the website. Keep listening here to Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. Happy Monday. Good to be with you. Here we go. Thanks for checking in. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio, where throughout the week we're going to be putting the spotlight on the 30th anniversary San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. We are in conversation today with Executive Director Sky McClellan. Sky, let's remind folks, as always, of the website, please, for more information.
Slowfilmfest.org.
So we're going from April 25th to the 30th, but now you have the encore from May 1 through 5. What's that about?
Yeah, so this kind of started during COVID. We launched a virtual festival, and we're continuing to do that. We really felt it added more accessibility to the people that couldn't come here in person. And so you'll be able to screen a limited amount of the program virtually May 1st through 5th. And then we've also added some in-person screenings in Paso Robles May 2nd through 5th, kicking off with this amazing film called Psalm, Cup of Salvation, which is about this father and daughter making these Armenian wines, and they're going to be there for us to try.
Really?
As well.
All right. Let's take a call. We've got Scott in San Luis. Hey, Scott.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Sky.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, Sky. I have a question. How many people are still shooting or shoot anymore on the Super 8 16mm or 35mm? Not that you're going to get in film. You're going to get it, you know, you're going to get it in DVD or something like that. But how many are shooting? Nobody anymore, or are there just a few?
Well, gosh, I know there's a few people, like big directors, like Christopher Nolan still shoots on 35. So does Tarantino, insists on it. And there are actually a few people that are kind of going back to it a little bit. As far as Super 8 and 16, I know some even people locally that are shooting on it, mostly like skate and surf footage. The biggest issue with all of the film is just where to get it processed and like how expensive it is.
Yeah.
I think there's only one place in LA that is even processing, which is Photochem. So it just makes it a little bit limited, especially the Super 8. Personally, I think I've shot on it myself, and it's a lot of fun. But we do get, we've gotten a lot of films through submissions, I would say, more that are on film are on 16, which is a little more inexpensive than the 35. And to be honest, a lot of our screeners will be like, it's grainy, I don't know. The quality's not good, and they don't even know what film looks like anymore. And I'm just like, oh, I love it.
Oh,
so.
Wow.
But do you advocate it, though, anymore, or do you just let people decide? Because, you know, if I remember when I shot a film, and I did a film festival quite over 25 years ago. I mean, people said, it's shot on film. Let's all watch it.
Yeah.
Today, it's all digital, and you don't think of film anymore, but film's expensive.
It really is.
And I look at it like, I can tell the difference. It looks good, you know, depending what they shot it on, what kind of camera, what kind of lens, all that kind of thing. But still, are you advocating it, or do you not just, like, it's up to them?
Personally, I advocate for it. And if I see it and it works, we had a few films this year that were just, they didn't work, but I really did like the fact that they're shot on film, and then last year as well. And that was something that we kind of, you know, stressed to people as well, that they were shot on film. Unfortunately, just on the Central Coast, there's nowhere currently projecting on film either. So it does have to be, like you said, video transferred, which is a bummer. They took out pretty much all of the 35 millimeter projectors now.
Scott, thanks for the call. I'm reminded, one of my favorite films the last couple of years is a little film called Tangerine. They shot it on 3 iPhones.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's an amazing film, actually.
3 iPhones. And it was able to make a movie. That's obviously more complicated than that, but the technology has certainly changed.
Yeah.
So let's remind folks first, Heather Graham on Saturday.
Yes, she'll be here for a conversation with Chris Gardner of The Hollywood Reporter to talk a little bit about her career and accept the King Vidor Award. We are also going to have her for a screening that the film she stars and directs in, Chosen Family, at 5 p.m. at the Fremont Theater.
So two chances to see her, but you better be buying your tickets now.
Yes, definitely.
And then Beau Bridges.
Beau Bridges is here for a film he stars in called Camera. He'll be here Monday, April 29th, and that will be at 3:30 at the Fremont Theater, and we'll have a Q&A with him. You'll also be able to meet some of the cast and crew and Jay Silverman.
And Silverman and Beau Bridges will be with us on this broadcast tomorrow. Another part of the film festival, obviously you've downplayed this over the years, but you're still showing some classic films.
We are, and that's kind of a nod to Mary, and then also that these retrospective films should be celebrated, and they're really fun on the big screen. We have a series this year called the 30th Anniversary Series. We asked Mary Harris, former director, Wendy Edson, and Jim Dee, the owner of the Palm Theater, to pick films, and then myself as well, so...
You got Groundhog Day, Double Indemnity, Big Night, Muriel's Wedding. Those are the ones I picked out. There might be others.
Yeah, there's quite a few. Like Jim's is, I think he chose, Big Night and Dersu Uzla, which is the Akira Kurosawa film. We also have Riding Giants by Stacy Peralta. And we've got The Pursuit of Equality. The filmmakers are actually going to be here for that movie. That follows Gavin Newsom when he was legalizing gay marriage in San Francisco. And it's actually the anniversary of the film, so the filmmaker will be here for that. We've got The Adventures of Queen of the Desert.
We have
a little drag performance for that, which you're going to want to... not miss. That was one of my picks. I chose two Australian films, so that one and Muriel's Wedding.
Craig is adding to the list.
Yeah, H.M. Pullum, that is Esquire.
Yes.
That's going to be there, and that's going to be at the Park Cinemas?
At Park Cinemas, and that is one of King Vidor's films.
Yes.
Right. That a lot of people haven't seen, and we have Kurt Honeycutt, who is actually was a friend of King, who's going to kind of speak to that and give us a little film history on that as well.
How do I know that? I know that name, Kurt Honeycutt. He was a reporter, wasn't he?
Yes, he used to write for The Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah. So he's going to be doing that in Paso Robles.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the movie, Craig?
I've heard of it. I know, the star. It's Hedy Lamarr, Robert Young, but I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, it's kind of one of his that's not often seen, so we decided to pull it out from the archives.
So you celebrate the classics, also show what's coming on, and you suggest the future. You've got some a local showcase as well.
Yeah, so we've got what's called the Central Coast Filmmaker Showcase. These are all films made by filmmakers in Monterey, Central Coast, and Santa Barbara counties. And there's just an incredible lineup of films, some short documentaries, some narrative shorts. We've got two documentaries, one called Wrestled Away, the Lee Kemp story. This is about local wrestler Lee Kemp and his journey. He basically was already set to go to the Olympics, the one that got canceled, and just kind of follows his dream and how it basically was crushed. And it's a really inspiring and interesting film about his life, and he'll be here for that doing the Q&A. We also have a film called You Will Be My Music by local filmmaker Bob Williams, and he's got some music organized for that as well, and that's about a Chicago jazz singer, Paul Marino, and some really great stuff. That some of the docs are just great this year. So right here at home.
Right here. Great stuff. And you have a lot of the filmmakers, when their films are accepted, they actually come out.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
So there's a chance to actually meet the filmmaker, do some Q&A, find out more about the background of the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. And we actually, overall, I think we have a little over 70 filmmakers coming to town starting on Thursday. So they're here to answer your questions and be a part of the festival experience.
I would just throw that out because, again, we had Lucy talk about traveling Europe, and she was talking about how friendly everybody was. So here we go. For the next week or so, we're going to have all these people descending on San Luis Obispo. So we're known for being kind and nice and friendly, but let's go out of our way.
Exactly.
Because these people are coming in and forming impressions and spending money and giving us a great film festival.
Yeah. Yeah. Show them some love.
All right. We'll come back for a final segment as we put the spotlight on the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival celebrating 30 years. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. In our final segment with us, Guy McLellan, talking about the 30th anniversary of the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. People are listening, well, okay, that's kind of cool, but let's remind them, what does the city get out of this? How do we benefit from having a film festival?
We benefit, one, culturally, the kind of topics we're exploring and access to the world that these films are giving us is, I think, something that you don't get in SLO typically, as well as we've got these people coming to town, these very creative and resilient people who are independent filmmakers coming to town and want to share these stories with you and connect with you. I also think there's power in connecting with, you know, each other over liked interests. I hear so many stories. I had a man come in yesterday. We have a film about people that are wrongfully incarcerated. It's called The Strike. And he was in jail for 25 years and then in solitary confinement for 15 years. And this film is about this hunger strike that happened, about the treatment that the prisoners were getting in this solitary confinement. And he is not specifically in the film, but was a part of this. And he was like, I need people to see this film. Give me some posters. Like, I want to come out and promote and get people to see this film and talk to people about what is going on. And so it's things like that that I'm like, oh, okay. Like, there's a lot of power in what this festival is and what these films are. And yeah, you don't want to miss out on it.
You're also bringing a lot of money into the community.
We are doing that too. Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, yes. You have people coming literally from all over the world to attend this film festival.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
a tribute to you and the women who came before you.
Yes.
You really built this up into something special.
Yeah. Yeah. Who love and then continue to come back year after year and make the Central Coast a place that they want to shoot films in, that they want to make memories in, they want to move to, visit. So, yeah, people don't just come for one time, I've noticed. Like, they keep coming back and back.
As if they need an excuse to come here.
Exactly, yeah.
You mentioned earlier you were at Sundance. Yeah. Were you wandering Sundance going, oh, we could try this in San Luis?
I actually thought about that the other day because they announced, you know, that they're thinking about moving the festival. And I was like, oh, maybe they could just come and do it and I'll just hand them the keys.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think we could be a Sundance for sure. I mean, we're much more accessible and affordable to visit than Park City, that's for sure. We're also not in the middle of dead of winter. It's a very tricky festival. And I mean, even before the pandemic, like, you would always get sick and like, it's just not a great time to be traveling and being in the cold snow.
Yeah.
So, I think we check all the boxes for being that. We're still a little bit unknown, you know, and that's kind of, we all love that as locals, you know. We don't want to blow up to the point where
you don't want to be spoiled.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, can we just split the difference? I'm not sure we're either.
Well, but as executive director, what's your vision now? How big do you want to get this? Do you want this to be, for example, like Santa Barbara?
I really think, you know, our focus, Santa Barbara is very focused on celebrity and the glitz and the glam. And for me, I think our strengths is the community and that real people are watching these films. The industry is kind of just more and more out of touch with how people are thinking and feeling. And what filmmakers really need, I think, is feedback from real people. And that's what I want to continue to grow. And I think that's where we really shine. So yes, I'd like to get big as the scale of Santa Barbara, but I don't want to get lost in the celebrity and all of that. I think that's really important.
But just listening to you the last hour, Sky, talking about everything that you're presenting, yeah. I submit that anyone could find something that they would respond to in your schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got documentaries, you've got classic films, you've got shorts. There's something for everybody at this film festival.
Yeah, and we do that really intentionally. People come in and they're like, what should I see? And I'm able to look at our program and really nail in that there's at least one thing that you might like and want to experience. So that's very special to what we do here in SLO and at our festival too, is have that really wide array of offerings.
Give a shout out to the actor Josh Brolin. He always supports the film festival in one way or another.
Yes, this year, thank you, Josh. He was on our narrative feature jury and helped single out the winner, which I can't announce, so it'll be announced on April 30th. And yeah, he's been a great support for us. I can reach out to him and get his ideas and thoughts. And, you know, he's navigated the industry for a long time and still has a lot of love for this area, which is great.
When you read everything, though, about happening in the industry, how optimistic are you of the future of movies?
Oh, I think there always will be movies. I think they might look a little bit different. And, you know, there'll be more of like a record store. I like to say like a vinyl store or a record where...
Vinyl's back.
Yeah, vinyl's back.
Vinyl's back.
But, you know, like where it's like... Maybe we don't have a million multiplexes everywhere, but we have one kind of theater that shows retrospective films and does special events. That's kind of where I see things going. But I think people always want to be entertained. And yeah, I think it's just about us being adaptive and fluid and not being afraid of change. I think they're in the industry where there's a lot of people being very regimented, and it's actually a very exciting time. And there's been a lot of gatekeeping, you know, there's been certain distributors and things that have kind of been like, this is the way it is and how it always will be. And, you know, with change comes, you know, something new. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not afraid.
compared to like 5 years ago, the movies that you're seeing now coming to the festival, are they different in terms of the topics that they're approaching, the approaches that they're using?
Always. I always say the films reflect the times. So you're going to see, especially in the documentaries, things that are really people are thinking and feeling in the world right now. But also just, I think the level and quality of films are so much better just because of the tools people now have. As that Scott mentioned earlier, film was so expensive. Being a filmmaker was like cost prohibited. Like not everyone could do that. Now, like you mentioned, you can pick up your iPhone and make a movie. And I'm seeing incredible things that, you know, young adults are doing on their phones, and it's just as cool as, you know, some of these things that are done on huge budgets and all of that. So the tools are a lot more available and accessible.
And literally people are going out and making movies. I mean, we mentioned the student showcase. You've got young people showing their works.
Yeah. We had a 48-hour competition, so they had 48 hours to make a film, had to feature skateboard, and some of them are really great, like what people came up with in a short amount of time just using what they had. So,
all right, Sky, we got a couple of minutes left. Let's remind folks of the highlights of the International Film Festival. We start with Heather Graham on Saturday.
Heather Graham on Saturday, King Vidor awards presentation April 27th at 12 p.m. And then her movie Chosen Family at 5 p.m. at the Fremont Theater.
Is she going to be at the 5 o'clock screening?
She will be there, which is very exciting.
So you have two chances to see Heather Graham.
Mm-hmm. And then we've also got our opening night film, which is April 25th, Ghostlight. We do have the filmmakers here for that as well. They're very talented. We're really excited to have them.
And this film was at Sundance. That says a lot about it.
Mm-hmm. We've got Surf Night in SLO, which is on Friday. We've also got the filmmakers here for that. We've got on Saturday our music video showcase.
Oh, we haven't mentioned that at all. Music videos.
Yes. Yeah. We have incredible line of music videos, international as well. And And that's going to be at Kreuzberg, April 27th, Saturday at 7 p.m. And we've got some live music with that as well. And it's going to be really fun, really cool event. Filmmakers will be there too. And Suze from The Crush will be emceeing that. And then we've also got, gosh, there's so much, Dawn of the Dead that night. Saturday's a really big day. So if you want to go full out, there's something for everyone on that day. And then Sunday, Community of Skate, we've got Stacy Peralta, Kareem Campbell, and Mike Crum, some really well-known skaters coming out for that event. And then Monday's our Central Coast Day. And we've got Camera with Bo Bridges.
Bo Bridges.
At 3:30 at the Fremont. And then Tuesday we have Closing Night, which is that wonderful film with June Squibb, Thelma, also from Sundance.
Now, everything you need to know is on the website.
At slowfilmfest.org.
You can get your passes. They get you into all the events, right?
Yes. You can get an all-access, we call it the Movie Mogul Pass. You can get a pass that just gets you into regular screenings if you're more just in for films. You can buy individual tickets. You can buy ticket packages, save you a little bit on individual tickets. So, yeah, kind of can do it however you want.
And you can also go to the website because from May 1st to the 5th, you're going to replay some of the items.
Yeah, we're showing films virtually and in person in Paso Robles at Park Cinemas.
All right, Sky, I know you need to go back to work. Thanks for joining us. I got about 30 seconds for a final thought.
Just that I want you all to know that this is such a unique and special event in your community. Come check it out. I promise you, you'll see some amazing films and meet some incredible people, and I'll see you at the movies.
And you've got films, venues all over the county.
Exactly. Fremont, Palm Theater, Downtown Center Cinemas, Bay Theater, and Park Cinemas.
All right, Sky. We'll see you at the movies.
See you.
Off we go. News, traffic, weather. Here comes the 5 o'clock hour.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.